It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to Celebrate Truth Radio. I am your host, Robbie Davidson. This is going to be a good one. It is episode 106. It is April 24th, 2021. What a year it is. And the name of this show is What in the World is Going On? I think I'm going to do a series where I'm just going to run and have many guests on going, what in the world is going on? And just get their take on it, because there's so much stuff going on in the world right now. I've done multiple episodes here in 2021, just talking about the insanity, the continued persecution, the censorship, the cancel culture. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, getting into the agendas, the propaganda. It just seems like we are going down at such a rapid speed in every which way, whether it's all the racial stuff trying to divide us, just, it's unbelievable. It's too much to comprehend, actually. You can just focus on one area and you're like, my goodness. And just the way that they're setting everything up right now with the Supreme Court, with the filibuster, where they're trying to come against the police, where all this stuff is in play for a very specific reason. And we're going to get into that real quick. I wanted to mention for everyone, especially that are tuning in on YouTube, on the channel Celebrate Truth, because I can pull some stuff up on the screen. If you're listening on the radio, thank you so much. All the listeners at Revolution Radio, it is listener supported. And guys, if all of a sudden all the major platforms disappear, Revolution Radio is censorship free, which is awesome. So if I disappear off Facebook, YouTube, all the other channels, you will still be able to find me at Revolution Radio, because they're all about being censorship free, allowing you to speak the truth, not having to worry about anything. So just keep that in mind. Make sure that you support them if you can. I think it's $5 a month and you get access to all sorts of stuff, plus you're supporting great stuff moving forward. Because guys, I think the days are short. You know, before 2 years ago, we'd be saying, oh, censorship, it's coming and it's getting strict. It is getting insane now. I think that they're focusing in on some key players, but I think once they've got that done, the minute they censored the president, the sitting president of the United States, in one little meeting, they all got together and said, he's out of here. And they just wiped him. And the frightening thing about that is if they can take out the sitting president of the United States, we are all susceptible. They are going to come after all of us in due time. especially if we're speaking stuff that's not going with the mainstream agenda. But really quick, I wanted to mention the promo that is going on. I'm definitely extended it. Any order that's done through celebratetruth.org, that's celebratetruth.org, which is my website. You can find my documentaries and my book, a free DVD with any order. But I wanted to mention that with my exclusive special edition, autographed and numbered book, I only am going to be doing 1,000 of them, and I'm getting very close. The number is getting up there, and after 1,000, that's it. So if you're interested in getting the special autographed numbered edition, like I said, after 1,000 of those, it's over. There's going to be no more autographed and special edition of my book. So you can find it at celebratetruth.org. Check it out. And like I said, whether you buy a book, whether you buy a combo, whether you buy a DVD, you're going to get a free DVD with any order. It's great to get out and get into people's hands, because like what we're going to be talking about tonight, and I've been talking about in so many episodes, is scientism, right? It's the same stuff, guys. I started with in 2015. Now we're into a whole different level of scientism. But they have gone to a point of such draconian measures where all of a sudden they've literally not just become the authorities and become the wisdom of the world. Now they're the enforcement arm of the government. Literally, they're the ones that are locking people in their homes. They're the ones that are shutting down churches. These are guys that are now shutting down businesses that aren't complying. Guys, it's frightening if you understand the true power of scientism. And the unfortunate thing is they're not scientists at all. They're not following the true scientific method. So again, it's important for people to understand the difference between scientism and science. I can't stress that enough. So many people need to know how far these lies go. We're seeing where this is all leading. But again, it goes to so much more greater detail when you get into how much scientism has been lying to us all along. And where is it going in the future? And we're going to get into all of that and so much more with my special guest this evening. He is no stranger to Celebrate Truth Radio. Had the great pleasure of really getting to know him very, very well at the Take on the World conferences, which we'll be talking about as well, because there's Take on the World 2021 that is coming up here in August of this year, which is exciting because last year it was, you know, streamed. This year it's going to be in person, which is going to be amazing. And big thanks as well to my guest for picking me, my wife, and my family up for Take on the World. It was really nice for him to pick us up at the airport. And it's just a great pleasure to have Mr. Tony Stover on with us this evening. Tony, how you doing?
What up, Robbie?
What up, man? I had to throw it in there. I don't know if I ever like broadcasted the fact that you just pulled up there. Come on, man. Pile on in, right?
This is the baby crazy seats. Part of that story I never told you is actually I was sent there to kidnap your family to stop the flat earth movement. But just meeting you, you guys were so nice. I bailed on the plan and you led me to the Lord. And it was fantastic.
Dude, Canadians are just super nice, period, right? So, like, anyone meets Canadians, they're like, oh, man, I was thinking of killing you, and now I'm not. You're amazing. I'm not going to murder you anymore. Like, assassins come to Canada, and they're just like, yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't go through with my job. You guys are just too amazing. You're too nice.
I don't know what you think of me. I didn't say anything about killing you.
Oh, I'm just using it.
I'm going to hold you guys for ransom from the Flat Earth community and see how much they pay out to get you back.
Well, we can definitely, if we're going to be getting into putting stuff on the table, maybe we'll get into maybe dreams and certain premonitions and different talk that went on at certain points about me. But it is funny. We can all laugh about it now. And the fact of the matter is, got to know you and your family, and we've just had an amazing time getting to know each other. And I just love your insight because, again, you can go deep onto projects and deep into issues, especially with the binary, which I think you should touch on because I think it's incredibly fascinating. And then you can point people to your work or where they can find more information on that. I think that would be really cool. But I really want to focus right now while everyone's kind of piling in here. And thank you so much to everyone that is tuning in at Revolution Radio and also here now simulcast on YouTube. I really appreciate all the mods that are helping out with Celebrate Truth. I do run a 24/7 live stream continual all the time, exposing the world's lies. So if you're interested in that, you can jump in there and check that out. But a huge thanks to all my mods, everyone that's joining in the chat. There's so many people here piling in. I want to get in the first hour just honestly because everyone is asking the same question, like really, truly, what in the world is going on? Maybe you can kind of explain kind of for you, what was it like spring of 2020? All of a sudden something starts moving in and where we're at now. Maybe you can talk about just how that all came to be and then where do you think we're at right now and where we're going?
2020 was I think the craziest part about 2020 is that I'm like, I don't watch a lot of news or TV, but on Facebook, you kind of, people start talking about it, then you can go look it up. So the whole COVID thing, when it started and when it was like, even when it was into like full swing, nothing was different in the world around me, except people now are wearing masks. I think that was the most disconcerting thing, is everything felt normal, except for all of the masks. And I think that was the weirdest part for me. And then plus knowing where they're going with it, what is the actual nature of the vaccine? Is it a stepping stone to something different, worse, definitely worse? But yeah, that's it. I mean, honestly, it's been the same. It's the same thing since the beginning of time. It's good men and evil men flexing their right of choice or free will. And there comes periods of times when good men don't do anything or don't do enough, and evil begins to swing the scale.
And so why do you think so many people this time around have just been so complacent? You know, it is actually kind of shocking in the sense that now we're into year two of this, you know, here in Canada. You know, it's insane. What are we on, wave four now? And I mean, the stuff that's happened even here, but you know, while it's happening and looking good right now in the States, a lot of states are kind of opening up and everything seems to be good. The question is, you know, is this just a temporary thing where all of a sudden, new variant, new emergency, we've got to do this again, unfortunately, because we've got to keep everyone safe. Do you think, you know, I'm starting to look at the situation now, and it's not just being pessimistic, it's kind of being realistic in the sense that I don't think, based on what they're wanting, because they're wanting this thing to be eradicated and not even exist, which if it's seasonal, if it's like the flu in that sense, it's going to be nonstop. I mean, now they're talking about they want a certain percentage of the population vaccinated, which I find really interesting, because these aren't even anti-vaxxers. There is a pile of people that are like, I'm not taking it. And they've taken vaccines their whole life. They're not taking this one because they're like, no, man, this is too rushed. It's too experimental. What do you think about that as far as with their numbers? I don't think they're going to get to the numbers they want. We always talk about the sheeple and we always talk about the mainstream. But there is a tremendous amount of people that are like, I'm not going to be a guinea pig. Me and my family aren't. And they're not in the truther community. They're not even anti-vax, but they're like, no, thanks.
Yeah, there's definitely a group. I agree with that whole premise. There's definitely a group of people that aren't anti-vaxxers that are saying no, I don't know about this. All the terms around it just are super weird, and you're rushing this thing out. So I'd rather not. And then, I mean, honestly, you named the show "Let's Go Deep," so let's go deep.
Let's go deep. Well, that's the thing. I wanted to kind of keep it a little light before we kind of go really, really deep, because, you know, people are kind of tuning in and they just want to, like, you know, what is in your mindset, you know, what's happening with everything, you know, is it going to go away soon? And if not, where is it heading? You know, just kind of getting your perspective on everything you're seeing. Is there anything alarming that you're seeing? Again, forget even the vaccine, for example, forget even coronavirus or anything to do with that pandemic. Just what's going on with the transformation of America right now. And when I say America, I mean, if America gets transformed, then the whole world's about to be transformed. Right. So keep in mind, just because, you know, I talk a lot and everyone's like, man, he's really negative with America. You know, first of all, I was born in America. I was born in South Dakota. I'm a dual citizen. So, you know, in that sense, I'm never talking like that, but I'm saying it's so critical and it's so important to look at America as like, guys, if this gets completely messed up, the entire world's going to get messed up. And what I've seen now is it's not like, oh, guys, you know, let's stand right now. It's about to get taken over. It has been taken over. The question is, can it be taken back?
We're so far into, like, when you say forget the pandemic, forget coronavirus, COVID.
Yeah, let's just go into Biden, or I should say Kamala Harris and her administration, right? I'm talking about this whole thing, because we all know that Biden really doesn't even know where he's at. And you're kind of like, well, that's crazy. How can that even happen? Because they don't care. That's the scary part. They don't care. Why? Is because meanwhile, while he's just kind of giving his little speeches, meanwhile, they're working behind the scenes. But I am frightened at the level of what they're doing behind the scenes with their brigades, with the riots, the George Floyd. We can even talk about that if you want to get into that, because I think that sets a precedent going forward that mob rule now rules in America. Unfortunately, I don't know if justice is there anymore.
I don't think you actually, well, I don't want to, but I don't think you need to look that deeply into the microcosm of what's going on, like Biden, Harris, COVID. People need to understand and keep in mind that this is all one big thing. And it is super intelligent. It's evil genius level.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people just, since it was like drilled into us from the time we were little, that the devil is a little red guy with a pitchfork and a pointy tail, and he's super mischievous. You know what I mean? It doesn't come out like with the level of intelligence that the enemy actually has. Mm-hmm. And he uses against us. This is why the Bible says to be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. You have to know. And I think as my faith has grown and I've seen more and more and more like of God's power. And there's a part of me that goes, okay, well, if Abba's keeps getting more and more powerful, the more I learn about him, then there's going to, the enemy is way more powerful than I ever first. And so I have to respect, respect his ability, or else he will do more damage to me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so from a spiritual level, he is pulling strings throughout the whole world. And it's when you're little, a human being, just, you can't really see the big picture as well, then he's already at a great advantage. And that's the biggest part about all of this, with the things going on in the world stage, the pandemic, all of it. It's all one big plan that we all try to want to know how it's working so we can prepare ourselves. But it is, and like,
well, I keep going back to like the Great Reset. I've done multiple shows on the Great Reset, and I mean, they're open and vocal about this. Isn't even a quote unquote conspiracy theory. I mean, you know, our own prime minister talked about the great reset and building back better. And you hear Biden saying it, and you hear world leaders talking about it in the World Economic Forum. And, you know, we'll get into finance a little bit as well too. But the point is, they're looking at completely, and they say, this is a great opportunity. You know for a fact that they never let a crisis go to waste. So regardless, and we won't get into the debate, you know, whether manufactured or oopsie daisy or whatever. The fact of the matter is they're capitalizing on an opportunity they see. And it's like, it's all or nothing. Like the way I look at it right now is like, guys, this is it. All guns blazing. Like we are not going to backtrack on this. This is our time. It's almost like they've chosen, spiritually speaking, it's like, this is the time. And everything just seems to be ramping up more and more. And everything that I watch, I'm just like, I honestly, other than a miracle, I really don't see, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, 2024 and maybe something will happen, regardless of politics for a few seconds here. When it comes down to what they're orchestrating, I don't know. We already know that the whole voting system is completely rigged, right? But my point is, I don't know if it's even possible. I'm looking at the fact of the next decade or two, it might be this one, you know, party system that we might not see this flip-flop anymore, even though they've used that for a long time. The fact of the matter is, it just seems like they are just going to town with the Supreme Court, with the filibuster, with changing out universities, education, when they're changing out voting laws, they are just I've never seen anything so quick. And we're not talking Republican Democrats anymore. And I'm not even talking about that dichotomy. I'm saying this is straight up Marxist communism, where they're openly saying, I'm a proud Marxist, like a BLM.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. In America, though, in America, like if we went 10 years back and I said, like, these guys that are riding in the streets are about to take over, you'd be like, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. No, guys, they're going to be literally taking over. Like, I don't think anyone could envision that literally the mob or like BLM and groups like that would literally start taking over, that governors, mayors would be siding with them and saying, yes, we stand with them and the police need to go. To me, that's a frightening thing when all of a sudden you got a narrative saying we need to eradicate and, you know, take down the police. What do you replace that with? I think it's something federal, in my opinion.
It would have to be, because the alternative of what you replace that with, they are guns, is what they're also against. So they're against people having guns and the police.
Yeah.
So if just by rule, a good man will follow the rule of no gun and give his gun up. A bad man will not. So now you're taking away the police and vastly swinging the balance of who has guns to bad men. And then they'll be like, look how bad it is. We need to step in federally.
Yeah. I mean, again, you replace it with something. I mean, if you take it down, and we're going to see that happen at some point, in some city somewhere, they're going to actually be able to accomplish it. And the question is, you know, their social brigade or their racial justice brigade or whatever they're going to be, you know, they're talking about social workers a lot. The fact of the matter is we're going to see exactly how woke that squad is. You know what I mean? Because like, what do you replace them with? I think you replace them with something so much more horrifying. Like, and that's the plan, right? They want to actually get their people in there.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like that's what I'm saying is we're in agreement. I think most people are in agreement. To me, it's just so alarming that so much stuff is happening. And it's not like we're having a show, you know, 5 years ago where we're talking the New World Order and they're slowly chipping away and they're, you know what I mean? They're chipping away and they're moving us towards a, you know, a one world monetary system and they're moving us towards a one world, you know, economy. And we're talking about a rapid fire, hyperdrive, you know, we're seeing it accelerate at such a rapid pace. And I'm blown away that people aren't really like, just wait a minute. The magnitude of this is so monumental in my opinion on what is going on. I look at it like, yes, it has, literally it's been taken over. The question is, will it be taken back? And how long will it be to take it back? We always talk about end times and we'll get into, you know, eschatology. But really in my mind, I'm like, are we about to see an entire, like our children, you know, we're raising children. Like it's horrifying to think what kind of world that they're going to grow up in. Not that there hasn't been horrifying situations throughout history. I always tell people, and they're like, I'm not having any children right now because the world's so crazy. Guys, people were having children when children were being murdered if you had them. So there's never, I mean, it's not a bad time compared to other times in history. And our command is to be fruitful and multiply, right? So we should never, ever, based on fear, decide not to have children. Children are beautiful. They're a gift from God. And quite honestly, we need the next generation. We need them more than anything. So to me, it's like, wait a minute, what the heck kind of world are they going to be raised in? I look at it like, you know, Israel really prospered when they were under slavery, you know, with Egyptian rule. I mean, we know the story, but are we as a people going to go into a world where we are literally going to live under bondage and under, you know, an iron fist type environment, like whatever the Soviets or whatever you want to talk about. But if you look at communists, let's take China, for example, I mean, it's strict, real strict, you know, it's going to be a weird world to be living in when we're so used to so much freedoms. They're evaporating at such a rapid pace. I like every few months, more and more are disappearing.
It goes back to like what I was saying about the good righteous men and evil men flexing their free will. So when someone can look at this, someone that doesn't want to be a parent because of the crazy times, they can literally, they're a person that objectively can look at their surroundings and go, this is bad. So on some moral level, they have morals. They're good, or else they wouldn't know that it's bad. Those people, by not having children, are now making it so that there's more people that think the bad is good, having their children and teaching them that. So they're literally swinging, they're making it worse by not having children and teaching them right.
Yeah, correct.
And that is why he says, be fruitful and multiply.
I go so far as to say, like, if you're a believer and you purposely are not having children because for whatever reason you don't want to have children, I'd say you're in sin. It's pretty clear. It's one thing if you can't have children, but even that you can adopt. But I would say that, you know, I would go so far as to say it's even a sin if you choose in your heart not to have children for whatever selfish reason or out of fear, then you're in sin. I mean, it's something you got to deal with God, because quite honestly, that is wrong. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply, or at least, you know, have children. That's my understanding of it. That's the way I look at it. And I've been very clear to people and saying, look, man, I really think you need to kind of pray about that if you're at that point. Because most times you hear people not wanting to have children because, well, I want to travel the world and I want to, well, guess what, guys, we're in 2021. You're not traveling too much anyways. Right. So you don't have too many excuses now, right? They're kind of evaporating there too, but And I think that's important too, but you know, raising up your children to do right. But it's going to be so important. The world is getting so dark And we can go on so many different angles. Like I was talking to my wife the other day of just the levels of depravity when it comes to sexual depravity. And the way I look at it, and this is a very strong, someone actually said in the chat that we're in the end times and this is the last generation. Maybe I purposely don't hold to that. I think that there's multiple generations left, but I could be wrong. My point is this, though. How much more depraved as societies do we have to become? There's not much more to go. The only thing left really right now that's not celebrated and put in parades almost is pedophilia, which right across the world, that's abhorrent and people hate it, right? The question is, in 20 years, will it be accepted? It seems crazy to think, but at one point, bestiality was considered like just the most revolting thing in the world, but yet all of a sudden, you know, in comedians and in sitcoms, they were joking about it, and they always introduce stuff through humor. You notice that with Three's Company?
Yeah, I do.
You know, yep. Jack and Chrissy, and it's, you know, he's pretending to be gay and stuff, and then now, you know, no one's laughing. No one dares make any jokes about homosexuality. That's another thing, too. You can't even joke in comedy about something. The cancel culture is so strong right now, and I just think it's a real problem when we're at a point where everything is kind of embraced, and what point do we get to when there's no more to do? You know, like if you want to talk about the time spectrum, and the one thing I find really intriguing, and I've said this on many shows, what I find intriguing is if you go back, you know how you go back throughout history, Rome, you go through Greece, you go through all these wicked, wicked pagan, you know, civilizations. They got into everything, right? Human sacrifice. They got into, you know, orgies. They got into homosexuality. They even got into like people dressing up as men and women and all that. But you know what? The one thing you can't find out anywhere in history is where people questioned if they were a man or a woman, or going so far as a society that a man could walk up and say, guys, I feel like a woman today. And they're like, well, therefore you are. Therefore you are, because you think it, therefore you are. That has never happened. So I'm saying we're at a point now in history where something has taken place that it literally is being celebrated, it's being embraced, and it's being pushed to the children that has never, ever happened in the history of the world. To me, that marks something special with this generation. I will give it that.
When I get into the binary, I'll touch on why I believe that is. On a spiritual level, why this is such a new, strange concept. I wouldn't say it's new. I'm sure it's happened because the Bible says nothing new under the sun. But at this level of it.
Well, I want to go deep. I honestly want to go deep. I think we've touched on like about 50 subjects just right there in the first 15 minutes, right? So again, everyone knows the world is messed up. I think we can conclude what in the world's going on. It is messed up, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, from your theory, when getting into the binary, that's where we need to kind of go deep. And like, you know, people can kind of go to a regular show and get this and on this specific topic. But that's why I wanted you to come on and really go deep and say, hey, here, explaining the binary, explaining the whole thing, the whole system that's in place, because it's incredibly fascinating. I think a lot of people would take a lot from it.
Are you going to do that right now?
Yeah. We'll get into it. Right. I mean, we'll let it flow. It's not like, you know, like I said, this is kind of like more spontaneous, but I think you can start kind of going that. Think of people that are just tuning in for the first time. So keep it kind of more elementary. In hour two, we'll go a lot deeper. Start explaining it because this is what you know, presented at Take on the World. This is stuff that you've done, you know, and we'll talk more about your work and stuff like that. But you even did like a documentary video, you know, on this exact topic as well, right? So that's something that I think is important for, you know, people to really understand if they want to kind of a deep level, let's go down the rabbit hole on what exactly this matrix or system is.
I'm glad you used those choice of words. So I'll break it down into maybe like baby steps, like simple, easy to digest little parts, and kind of set the groundwork, the framework of the system we're living in. And I would assume a bunch of your listeners would probably be familiar with standard computer, cell phone, things that operate on binary code, series of ones and zeros. We're all familiar. We all have one of those items in our house. Like we're talking on the phone. That's all digital information being transferred using ones and zeros. Flow, one, don't flow, zero. And you can, like, you plug your TV into the wall, and just the steady stream of electricity isn't going to make an image. The TV has to turn that stream of electricity into flow, don't flow, 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 don't flow, 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 don't flow. And it's a language in which the TV operates. I am postulating with lots of biblical, I think 2 Peter, I read 2 Peter actually right at the beginning of COVID, and it was the first time I had read it after the binary stuff was extrapolated for me. But basically 2 Peter describes binary. But basically everything comes down to one or zero. Mm-hmm. It's good or evil. For every up, there's down, left, there's right, in, there's out. And then in time, forward in time, backward in time, everything is put into a balance. This is how you make free will. You can't, if there's no left and I can only go right, that's not free will. If there's no back and only forward, that's not free will. Mm-hmm. There's free will is the ability to choose. And this whole place is a construction of the ability to choose. It was one of the first things Abba gave to us when he created us was his breath, which gave us life, and life gave us choice. And for him to be all powerful and in control of everything, it is a part of his control. He gave it up for us. He sacrificed it for us. You choose. However, this is my favorite way to look at the insane amount, the unfathomable amount of power that Abba has, is that he can not touch any one of our free wills, but still he wrote the story. He declared the end from the beginning without touching our free will. So, I mean, that's a brain shaker when you try to mm-hmm. process that. I think the easiest way I've thought of to be able to explain it is, say I were to write a story. I am the author of the story. I'm on the outside of the book. I write outside of the world in the book. I write the story. The plot is carried out by the free will of all the characters in the book. They're choosing these things inside the book. In his power, he was able to know, okay, so if I make Tony with those parents in this period of time, that's going to be not good for my will. So let's see, if I put him with these parents in this specific time, and then he arranges us all to make his will done without touching our free will. It's insane. So back to the concept of binary. It's built to create choice so that we can choose him. This is why Yeshua, Jesus, was slain before the foundations of the earth. He knew. He's starting with the first two, Adam and Eve. They're not going to choose me every time, which is sin. This is, mm-hmm. if you don't do what he says, this is sin. And so he created that choice, gave it to mankind, already had the plan in. And this choice on a spiritual level is created by overlapping two quantum realms. And I might have jumped forward a hair too much. I'm going to backtrack and kind of seal it up. But the overlapping of two quantum realms, one of Abba and one of the devil. And we are right in the overlap. Choose you this day whom you will serve, he says. That's mm-hmm. So everything's built on the choice. And then the people that have computers, if you know anything about binary, every single flow, don't flow, flow, don't flow, 1010, each mm-hmm. bit or byte of a binary can only be a one or a zero at any given time.
Which is crazy to think that the entire internet, everything that you're looking at right now, if you're on YouTube or just anything, it's just ones and zeros. The entire thing is just ones and zeros. It just amazes me sometimes when you actually just think about how simplified it is that brings the entire thing to life.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. And yeah. I'm saying that I think that same language of ones and zeros on a spiritual level is literally bringing everything else not in the computers to life. Trees, mm-hmm. birds, animals, grass, air, friendships, laughter, correct. Joy, peace, like all of it is all still built on that ones and zeros. Mm-hmm. And do you know anything about quantum computing?
I do. I know a little bit. I mean, not an extensive amount, but yeah, I definitely know, because the big fear is about when quantum computers come out, they're so powerful, they're going to be able to crack, you know, passwords and different things like this, just because they can do like, I don't know how many transactions a second, but it's insane amount. It's insane.
Yeah, they're extremely powerful. And that is due to in a regular binary computer, like your home PC or your phone or your TV, each bit can only be a one or a zero at any given time. So it can't be both. It's either flow or don't flow. Choice. In a quantum computer, they're called qubits, which is, I think, a funny throwback to an Egyptian form of measurement, but it's a qubit. And those can be ones and zeros simultaneously.
Mm.
All right. So let's go into scripture a little bit and sort of set a binary sort of, I don't know, ground layer. Everywhere in scripture that life is given, a one goes to a zero and gives of itself. And I can show that by everything that Abba says he is, everything that God says he is, light, love, warmth, hope, like just everything he says he is, the opposites of those don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as darkness, because darkness,
it's just the absence of light, right?
It's no light. Yeah, so you have darkness is zero, it's no light, and light is one. It is actually something, it exists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you have love and hate, you have fear and faith, and they're both just one is the there's no such thing as cold, there's just no heat, same thing. It's we're fighting the vacuum, basically. Our flesh is made of this vacuum. It wants the vacuum of selfishness, of zero, taking that the nature of a vacuum, the drawing in. Whereas the opposite, the meaning of life, the unsolvable question of the meaning of life is very easily solvable. We look at the Messiah and say, what did you come here for? Oh, sacrifice. The meaning of life is sacrifice, which then when you plug that into a vacuum, it would take an infinite amount of sacrifice to fill an infinite void vacuum.
Correct. Yeah.
So all of the decisions that we make is all going to be sacrifice or greed. Am I going to give or am I going to take?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Ten Commandments, if you can literally rename them all out to giving and taking. Thou shalt not kill. Don't take somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lie. That's taking the truth from somebody. It's all give and take, the whole thing, all the way down. And it's proof that the Messiah had to come. If that's what this system is built on, two overlapping fields, quantum fields of sacrifice, Abba, and vacuum, the devil, give and take, and we live in the balance, then the Abba would have had to come here himself and do it to keep the pattern, to roll the pattern down from spiritual to physical, because he's a good father, the best father, not even like almost to a point where there's no real reason to call anyone father but him. He's mm-hmm. so good at it that any father that would tell their child not to do something but not be willing to do it himself, or you know what I mean, to tell his child to do something but not be willing to do it himself, I don't feel that's a good father, and he is. So with that being said, the Messiah had to come here. So everywhere life is given, the one goes to the zero, the infinite sacrifice goes to the vacuum or void and gives of itself, the light to the circle of the earth. I'm not trying to be crass here. I'll dull it down, but the intimate act between people that makes children, like literal making life, is mm-hmm. a one going to a zero and giving of itself.
Then you can't say sex on Celebrate Truth Radio, just so you know.
I can say that.
Yeah, you can definitely say it. Yeah. Okay. So you're talking about when a married couple has sex and produces life.
Yes, that is on a physical level, that is a one going to a zero and giving of itself. Then on a on another level, we have the Messiah hung on a stake, a cross, which is a one, put into the hole in the ground with a line through it. The canceling of the one for the zero. Him dying for us. The vacuum. The we those that us that need him. And so it's when we were talking earlier about the I call it the quantization of gender, but if you remember in a quantum field, we're in the overlap of two quantum fields. The nature of the quantum fields themselves are it can be a one or a zero at any other time. It doesn't really matter there. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They're mm-hmm. interchangeable. But as far as Abba goes, he is always giving to us. And the devil is always taking. So when you start to bring those quantum fields, the aspects and the natures of them into this binary realm, if you thin a veil or say they start pulling apart, which makes the overlap thinner, it's hard to explain. But in that moment, you'll start to see quantizing effects here in this place. And by quantizing, if we have genders of one and zero, then what happens when you start to quantize? If you quantize, then you start to have a certain amount of people that start going, oh, I don't know if I'm a one or a zero. I don't know if I'm male or female. Gotcha. I want to be male today. I want to be female today. That is a quantum computer. That is what the qubits do in a quantum computer, is they can be whatever they want.
Gotcha.
That's you got any ideas on that? Anything to add to that?
Well, I'm just saying, but when it comes down to the reality of it all, if all of a sudden you were born, we're talking about ones and zeros, are we talking male, female here?
Yes.
So if you're born a one, there's nothing you can do thinking of it, taking medication, or even, you know, start mutilating yourself. There's nothing for you to be able to change a one to a zero, correct? You can like you said, you might be confused. You might think it as a one. Yeah. You might think that you're a zero, but you are a one, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But you're saying the confusion's there.
The only way a one can turn himself into a zero is by sacrificing his life for another person. It's giving the value of one to something. This is why Abba stresses in the Bible, take care of the poor, the fatherless, and the widows. Mm-hmm. Poor people. Take care of poor people. Take care of sad people. Take care of people that are generally could be on a social level thought of as less, at a lesser level than you. Take care of those below you, which is what he's doing. He's taking care of those. There's a flow of power, and it starts with Abba, and it goes down. And he starts it off by sacrificing for the ones below him, and that would be us.
And so he's calling us to sacrifice for those below us.
Correct. And meanwhile,
is like social class or, because I mean, there's always someone that's worse off than you. I mean, pretty much. Right. Yeah.
Yes. It's to take care of those that are worse off than you.
Gotcha.
This is why if you do stuff for people that hate you, they're worse off than you because they hate. That's a bad place to be. And in that same sense, that flow downward of power, it's a two-way street. There, in order to open that valve for his power, you submit to the level above you. You take care of the level below you, submit to the level above you.
Mm-hmm.
And then if everything in the line, so the father sacrificed and gave his power to his son followed, submitted his will to the father. So now the Messiah is operating in the full power of Abba and submitting to the will of Abba. So Abba's will is still being done. Then he does that for us. He says, you can do greater things than I did. He gives up his power to us. He gives us the power through him. And then we submit to him, who's submitting to his father. And that's his men. And then, and this to me is where we start to break down into my favorite topic, and that's family. This is the correct family hierarchy, for lack of a better word. It is, if you follow that spiritual pattern and put it down into the family, so it goes Abba, the Messiah, man, woman, child. If everyone is sacrificing for the one below them and submitting to the one above them, all of them, everyone is in the will of the Father.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, 100%. I 100% agree with that.
And there's, I know there's some women who have been not like loved correctly and just basically like get in the kitchen and make my sandwich kind of stuff. Like you're lesser than me. Like I've seen it in certain circles where they'll beat the woman with the Bible by saying you're under me, and not understanding that you're supposed to be sacrificing everything, your life, everything for her. You do that for a woman, she will follow you wherever. If you sacrifice everything and in love, that is what love is. Love is sacrifice. You love a woman, she will be happy to follow you.
Yeah, no, and this is great that you bring this up. I know that on a previous show, I said at some point I wanted to do an entire show dedicated to the hierarchy or to just the authority structure and what the true beautiful definition of the word submission means. A lot of people, especially women, when they hear submit or submission, they get all weirded out and they worry and stuff. But the thing is, you know, we submit to the Lord, we submit to God. And it's a beautiful thing, but the only way that you can have a submissive mindset and feel that freedom in that submission is through obedience. And the more obedient someone is, the more submissive they become. And here's the beautiful thing. It's not forced obedience. It's willfully given as a gift saying, I want to obey because I love, right? So yeah, I mean, I could go on for, you know, hours and hours about this topic. So we can definitely talk about family. I wanted to bring up this verse real quick, just that you're bringing this up, because it gets really, you know, extreme in the Bible where, you know, a lot of people are looking at it and saying, well, you know, maybe that's the way. I always look at this verse, you know, 1 Peter 3:6. And again, there's lots of examples of this, but just for example, it talks about that Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. But what I'm saying is all throughout the Bible, if you actually look and you go real deep into this, there's such a beautiful thing with obedience. You know how it used to be like to love, honor, and obey the vows? Now, it's very rare that you say that. And I mean, my wife and I, our marriage vows would probably make a lot of people like, you know, they'd be in shock because, you know, it went a lot further than just obey. But the whole idea behind that, it's just a beautiful thing when people understand that the more obedient you are, the more submissive you become. Submissive is a state. It's a state in your spirit and in your body. You can't actively practice submission, but what you can practice is obedience. So I always sit there and say, you can respect someone and not obey, and vice versa. But really, if someone deserves that, and it really honors God, when wives are obeying their husband, right, it pleases God, right? And again, without getting into all these semantics and saying, oh, should women do this and do this, you know, we'll get into that in another show. But quite honestly, when it's done biblically and it's done right, that whole hierarchy is so important. And if you look at all the problems that are going on in this world, it comes down to one thing. The biggest thing that people divorce over and fight over and break up over is the power struggle. When you no longer have a power struggle, when you just both come to an agreement and saying, we agree with our roles, we agree with that authority structure that we're different, but we're equal, right? It is a beautiful thing because there's no more fight. There's no more power struggle. And it's a beautiful relational aspect to be in. And it takes work. Even right back from Genesis, it talks about how one of the punishments was your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you, right? Yep. What does that mean? It means that your desire, you'll constantly have this urging to, you want his authority. It's not that you'll just desire your husband. That's a given, right? But it's you will desire his headship, right? But this is the way it's going to be, right? So I know that. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to throw in while you're saying that. Here's a real world example of that verse in action. When you say, when I were to ask, say, a husband asks his wife, "Where do you want to eat?" and they say, "I don't know." That's them saying, "Oh, I don't know where to eat. I desire for you to tell me where we're going to eat."
Correct. Correct. No, 100%. No, you're dead on. And most deep down inside, women respect men that can lead. You know, here's the thing. When women get full control of a man, like they teach in Hollywood, what they teach in the media is it's so cool and it's funny. All these women are like, you know, the boss. They're the ones that wear the pants. But here's what's the reality of the situation for like 99% of women. Once a woman can fully control her man, she will lose all respect for him. And once 100%. She loses respect for her husband or for her man, it's over. Because women are driven that way. In the same way, you know, the love and respect thing, men are basically, they're moved by respect. If you ask a man, would you rather be loved in your workplace or respected? Hands down, they'll say, I want to be respected, right?
Right.
So they feel love through that respect. But how they feel respected is when their woman follows their lead and goes that. It's just a beautiful thing. If honestly, if God is the center of it all, and you're making him center of that relationship, and you're falling, like you said, in that hierarchy, it's a beautiful thing. I want you to go obviously a lot deeper into that, because I think you can go, you know, layers deep into the family. And again, it's some topic that I really think that I need to do more shows on, because it's so controversial today's age. And I mean, this is Celebrate Truth Radio. I mean, it's nothing but controversy when it comes to topics that are talked about. But I really do, because I think when people, you know, they're released from the lies of the world teaching how to do relationships and all this feminist, you know, philosophy that's been dripped in, not just to the world, but to the church. There's so many people now, even believers, that have bought into a lot of these lies of feminist, you know, worldviews. And it's very destructive. I would go so far as it's satanic, the level of the insanity of feminist propaganda, what they have gone. I mean, they went, you know, oh, we want equality. Now it's at a point like we're better and all this type of things. It's very destructive for the order. And again, we'll talk about the created order, just like creation, how the devil likes to distort creation. He loves to distort the created order, even down to the creation itself. Hence teaching what you are, even if you were born a woman or you're born a boy, maybe you were born in the wrong body. It's all about confusing everyone in creation, the created order, how it was supposed to be structured, the hierarchy. And here's one thing. Bottom line is nowhere in the world can you find any example of two people having equal power in an organization. You know, there's always one CEO. There's always one person that needs to be in charge, right? It's just the way that God has designed it to be, and you see it everywhere. It never works. What's going to happen is you're going to have a monster with two heads. It never works out well when you think you're going to have this equal. Again, you're equal in worth, but you're definitely not equal in authority as far as the structure goes, as far as what God has ordained.
100%. That was, and the hard part for me is that it is such a beautiful, like, our everything in this quote unquote reality, everything we can touch, smell, anything we can use our senses on, it is all a physical representation of a spiritual pattern already set, a spiritual frequency, fractal that is already built, and then reality as we know it follows along with it. And with that being said, what you were talking about with the family, it is such an important topic to me, because it is if the concept of the family is a physical representation of a spiritual pattern, then the enemy's number one target is going to be the family.
Yeah.
He from the beginning, it's how it started.
He
couldn't tempt Abba till Jesus came.
Aleister Crowley said that the family was public enemy number one. He said the church or believers were second. So literally, he said the number one go-to to destroy first was the family. This is Aleister Crowley, right? And again, if you look into a lot of literature, they've always said the family needs to be destroyed. It needs to, the biblical worldview, and that's what we're seeing, is this complete destruction. Even what we were talking about here at the beginning, talking about BLM, Marxism, if you look on their own webpage of the BLM webpage, it says to take down the nucleus family, right? Yeah. Like, they're all about this whole type agenda, like you said, when you talk about the binary, but it's just to completely confuse and bring it down, because they know the way God designed it, there's a lot of power and there's a lot of beauty and strength inside of it. And that's why we're seeing such a destruction of the family unit, you know, and we can go into a lot of that. I mean, we just seen.
And how does he do it?
Well, that's the thing. And that's what I want to get into in hour two with you. I want to get into hour two with you because we're coming up here on the break shortly. So you can go a lot deeper and you can explain it on a deep level, because I think this whole thing is so critically important, especially the times we're living in, because families need to be tight. They need to be brought together. They need to understand this, that really that power, spiritually speaking, even, is so incredibly power. And really it comes down to the family first. The family was instituted before anything else. I mean, it is literally paramount, and even the Satanists and even the wickedest people that are trying to break down everything know that we need to get to the family. And in order to get to the family as well, they need to take out the authority, the fathers. And we've seen this, right? The fathers, deadbeat dads, walking women saying, I don't need a man, all this type of thing. When any woman that really says to the point, like, I don't need a man, if you don't understand the fact of understanding what's going on, like, oh, I don't need a man, maybe I want a man, but I'm never going to get to the point and admit that I need a man. That's being, you know, too dependent. Like, all this feminist, basically, poison has done so much damage. And when you talk to these most feminist women, when they're about 45, 50, they're shaking their head. They're going, boy, was I lied to. Boy, was I lied to. You know, they're not happy. They're not happy climbing the corporate ladder. You know, all this stuff that it seems appealing to them, women deep down inside are not driven that way like men. Men are driven like that way, you know, when it comes down to, you know, work. And I'm not saying women can't work. I'm not getting into that debate whatsoever. I'm just saying that really there's a beautiful thing about women staying at home, tending the home, taking care of the kids. There's nothing more prized in God's eyes. I don't care what society, what the media, other women around you say that. If you're a woman listening in, you have to understand, do not be ashamed of that ever. It is the most prized thing possible. You know, that to me is something that's just so dangerous when you, you know, everyone's like, oh, you just stay at home. Oh, you're just a mother. It's like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean?
Just a mother.
Yeah. But you just hear this in society. Like, oh, you don't have a job. Hello. That is the number one job of all time. That surpasses any other. It surpasses the CEO of Apple. You know, like, to be the CEO of your family in the sense of being at home. I'm telling you right now, it's very, very important. And yet the whole society, it's just completely gone to town. You see it in Hollywood. You see it in the media. And I'm telling you right now, there's an agenda behind it. As Tony has explained, it's going more and more forward. And everyone is going to wake up at some point going, boy, like, I thought this would make me happy. And I wasn't.
I want to add this little tidbit in. The
one quick before we go. Yeah, okay, we'll let you take that right after the break. We're just going to break real quick. Don't go anywhere. Okay. We're going to go into a lot more here in hour two. We got a short break for about 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Celebrate Truth Radio. My special guest this evening, Tony Stover, talking about the binary and the family and a lot more. Don't go anywhere.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us!
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to Celebrate Truth Radio. I'm your host, Robbie Davidson. My special guest this evening is Tony Stover, and we're getting into what in the world is going on, and we're transitioning into the binary and specifically the family and going deep inside the roles, the authority structure, and so much more. I wanted to bring up Ephesians 5:25 because we were talking a lot in the first hour there about the wives and women. But really, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I think that's very, very important because, as Tony explained, the entire idea is to sacrifice, to give yourself up, and to love your wife. So while we're talking, it might seem like we're all male chauvinists. We're all talking about women need to do this. We also are commanded to do things. But what's really interesting about that verse is when you break that verse down, again, you know, we submit to Christ. Therefore, the wife submits to the husband. But even going further than that, we obey Christ. Therefore, the wife obeys her husband. And again, there's so much more to get into that and go on a deep level. But it's so important when that created order is followed, there's so much harmony. And again, it takes the two people to come to agreement and saying, look, we want to help each other in our true biblical roles because we want to experience what God has for us and not allow the devil to keep it hidden from us. Because there are some beautiful things. When you really start studying the deep levels of obedience and submission and understand your roles, what does it mean to even protect your wife? People say, oh, well, that just makes sense. If a guy runs up and says something, I'm going to defend her. But will you even protect your wife from herself? You're called as husbands to even protect your wife from herself. And usually she's her worst enemy, women are very destructive to themselves. And it takes a man to stand up and saying, listen, no. And it's up for her to say, you know, I respect you and I'm going to stop that if she's hurting herself, because women can do a lot of damage by the things they say to themselves, different things. There's all sorts of things. But really, at what level are we called to? And guys, we are going to be held responsible, not just for our wife, but for her whole family. So understanding that umbrella, understanding that hierarchy, it's not like you just sit back and you lounge and you just do, hey, my wife's going to do whatever I want. You are called to be very attentive and watch and be very protective of what your wife and your children are watching, what they're reading. But even when it comes to protecting from destructive things, even from themselves, and really when it comes down to a lot of women, they are very destructive. It could be cutting. It could be saying negative stuff to themselves. These type of things over time, whatever you say is going to manifest. And a wise man that's watching and that really cares about his family is going to say, no, that is not allowed in my house. And set those rules. Set those rules, agree to them, and then have them set up. Again, there's no such thing as having authority if you cannot be able to be respected to have those rules in place. Authority is all about rules. Now, if someone wants to rebel and disrespect it, it's fine. That's a whole other discussion. But my point is, don't think that someone has authority if they can't act on it. They have to be able to enact on it and be able to have that structure in place. Or it's really just some sort of pseudo authority. And God is saying, this is serious. And if you discover this, you're going to be, you know, really protected. Another thing, beautiful thing, is that men are in a position to protect his women, where men don't have that protection. Men do something really bad, they end up going to jail, or they end up, you know, after they die, even worse. Well, women have an added protection where the man can cover it first before it ends up like they might go to jail. Like if there's something really bad happening, the man can kind of oversee that. So God has put a protective layer in many ways. I know it's controversial, but the woman is the weaker vessel. Yes, it's true. It's in the Bible. Look it up. And man is there to protect her. And honestly, women, don't look at that as a negative. Look at it as the most beautiful thing in the world, that you have someone to protect you and to guide you and to lead you. And as long as you kind of fall in suit and you freely, truly, as a gift, give that over to your husband, don't operate in fear. You can always listen to your, you know, in the ear, like, oh, what if he does this? What if he does that? Just trust God and try it. But I'm telling you right now, when you hand it over, when you give it over of your own volition and saying, I'm going to practice obedience, watch what happens as your submissive state starts really maturing. And I'll tell you one thing, when you're submissive to God, when you're submissive in that state, it's a beautiful thing. Tony, maybe you can comment a little bit more. You were going to bring something up before the break. I just wanted to really go into depth on that, because we're going to, yeah.
We were talking about the like attack on the family and on the fathers. And it's like we have I personally believe the biggest issue we have in America is the fact that there are so many fatherless homes. Like, if you can keep the father away from the children, then it's going to go well for evil.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Well, look, if we kind of like keep that same principle and people go, why would they lie? Why would the enemy lie about the shape of the earth? Oh, because if I live on a ball spinning in the middle of a infinite space, but I believe that I have a heavenly father, he's really far away from me. He's not here. So it's trying to turn our perception of Abba, of the best father ever, into that he's a deadbeat. Oh, he's not even really around. You don't even really see when he's around. He just is kind of like checking on us. He's not here. And that itself is spiritually can erode over the generations, people's mindsets of how they perceive the world around them.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so true what you're saying. I mean, there's so much evidence and data to support that without the father, is incredibly destructive. I mean, if you look at, I think it's like 90% of children that end up in gangs, they're fatherless. I mean, it definitely is one of those things, the correlation for sure, that if the dad is not around, you are more primed to crime. You're more primed to, you know, commit crimes and go that direction. You know, I'm not saying everyone will, but the facts are the facts. You know what I mean? The data is what that supports. And I mean, the devil knows this. And I mean, that's why this has been going on for a very long time. But what I find interesting, it wasn't just getting rid of the father. Now the entire movement over the last, like, whatever, 10, 20 years has been morphing the entire role, where it's not even, he's gone. It's sad. We don't even need a father. We don't even need a man. Heck, I don't even need a man to get a baby. I'll just go get a sperm donor. Like, men are not even equated, not to mention in society. Look at any sitcom, look at any cartoon. Like, let's just go through it. All the sitcoms, all the cartoons, the men are buffoons. They're complete idiots. If it wasn't for their wife, you know, what I'm saying is it's very destructive.
They're sex-crazed idiots.
Like,
I don't want to do much, but I really want to have some sex. Like, that's pretty much comedy's version of what a man of the house is.
Yeah, it goes. It's so incredible. And you have to wonder, wait a minute, why is this allowing to fly? Like if anything, and there have been a few groups that have started like rising up a little bit saying, look, this is wrong. I mean, you can't do this to boys, to men, you know, continually portraying this way, but no one cares. Also, you'll see it like in a lot of sitcoms or in Hollywood where the woman is like, get the hell inside right now. Okay, dear, blah, blah, blah. And he's walking around and she's just ordering around. Now, let's flip the script. Let's flip the script on Hollywood for 2 seconds. What would happen? People would lose their mind. Why is why is it okay and funny if it's a woman totally dominating, abusing, you know, doing all that stuff? Again, it's not good regardless. But my point is, why is it accepted one way and it would be repulsed the other one? You know something's off when you see that. You just know there's something not good there, right? Again, this is all part of the destruction to the family. 100%.
Because the joke itself is that it's going against a spiritual pattern, nature.
Correct.
What is built into this? It all stems from the binary and how you create a flow of power from
the patriarchy, right? This is what the whole narrative now of destroying and remapping the whole United States is, because it was born out of the patriarchy. It was born out of, you know, white supremacist racist, you know, like this whole narrative is really going back to the destruction, you know, especially when everything we're talking about, right? Because again, they're saying, what is the family, right? We're wanting to break down all these norms and make it up in our own image. I mean, they want to destroy the history. They want to destroy any mention. You know, they're trying to teach children, you know, what's true and what's not from a very early age, to the point where, you know, they can go get an operation and go get medication behind their parents' back. This is what they're proposing to do.
That's bonkers.
How horrifying. I know. I said to my wife, I said, it's one thing where, you know, it was like, well, you know, they're indoctrinating kids and we got to send them to public school. You know, it's one thing. I'm talking 10 years ago, right? But like all of a sudden now I'm like, I can't think in the right mind, the stuff I've been seeing, how anybody in the right mind can justify sending their kids to private or to public school. It is so bad now where you're not talking about them just getting indoctrinated. You're talking about them possibly getting an operation or a medical procedure done without your knowledge. These guys are so insane. They're wanting to do this to your children without your consent. And you're like, why in the world would you even put them in a position like that where this could possibly happen? Because I'll tell you one thing, if it happens, this is irreversible type stuff. That's what's so scary about what's going on right now. Some of the stuff that's taking place where they're trying to advocate for 8-year-olds to take place in these things, this is going to affect them the rest of their life. It's not like a tattoo, you know, where they got a tattoo behind their parents' back, like, oh, you know, it's like, well, we could get laser surgery or whatever. But the fact is, this is altering drugs. This is medical procedures and hormone therapy that, quite honestly, in my study, you don't fully come back from. You can't reverse it when it's fully depleted. Like if you put, you know, testosterone in a woman at a certain level, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't dissipate.
You're changing DNA.
So maybe this is what you want to go into, is getting into the binary and talking about why there is this push. Like you explained, you know, that you can see exactly why this is all happening, because they're wanting to get us to what point? What is it, you know, when you're talking quantum and you're talking about meshing everything and destroying that created order, what exactly is the end goal, I guess I would say?
I think it's like the things we see in the sin of men, of humans, in this topic of gender fluidity. I think it is the runoff from a bigger something else going on in the spiritual realm, and vice versa, because the Bible says whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. So there's a direct correlation between the spiritual pattern and the continuation of the spiritual pattern into physical reality. And somewhere, and everything's balanced. Everything. This is why so many times in the Bible, God says, he lets you know, I don't like false balances. He says it all over the place. Because balance is what he built this place on. It's how you make choice, is balance. And so with the balance being built in it, you can't affect one, the spiritual side or the physical side, without affecting the other.
So what happens when it gets to absolute, like, massive, unbalanced, like to the point of no return almost? Like, at what point, what happens then? Because it's getting to a point now where it's getting so off track. I mean, it's not even just deviating. It literally is falling off the edge. I mean, it's getting so far gone. Like I told you before in the first hour and the audience, that in my research, never, ever in the history of man has it been recorded where people were at the point where they were questioning or just thinking that they were the other gender. And it was so in society. Society never once anywhere, you know, they've got into all sorts of sexual depravity and all sorts of wickedness. But the one thing you cannot find in recorded history is what we're dealing with right now. So that's what I need to know. And I'm sure the audience is wondering, what point are we at and what's next? Because we're at a point that's never happened. Like Ecclesiastes says, nothing new happens under the sun. Well, I'm sorry, something is new happening here now that hasn't been done. But we're told in the end times, there will be certain things that will happen that will, you know, that will never happen again and never come to be. So right. We're dealing with a very, I guess, proof text in my mind, or an idea that's saying it's giving a lot of legitimacy that I'm going, we might, you know, however long that end period or those generations are, there's a lot of validity to the fact that these are new things that have happened. And we're almost at a breaking point where, like, unless you just start reverting, where is this heading?
I all I know is it's not going to be good wherever it's heading. I mean, at what, like, people talk about thinning the veil a lot. And the question is to figure out what happens when the veil is so thin, it becomes transparent. Is that how a bottomless pit gets opened?
Maybe
thinning the veil so much.
Well, and there's also a point where, like, the cup overfloweth. Like, it gets to a point, you know, when it talks about, you know, God's wrath, that it's just like that cup just gets completely filled up. Like, there is a time, you know, that it's like, okay, that's it. It's done, you know. And I mean, the beautiful thing about long suffering is that he doesn't want anyone to be lost. So I always look at it like, you know, the elite or evil has their timeline, but he also has his, right? And he can always thwart their plans, or he could throw some, you know, wrenches into the entire ordeal, which I find interesting because they're kind of going a certain direction, but we don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, other than a miracle, the way I'm looking at it, I personally don't see communists and Marxists being out of power in the United States for over a decade. I see them laying all the groundwork, and it's frightening. I'm watching the people even on the other side going, oh my goodness, like if this happens, it's going to be that much harder. If this happens, it's going to be much harder. So I'm just looking at the fact that it's all or nothing for them right now. And what does it look like to live in a communist rule world? I mean, we all know what it looks like. And again, the church believers have a purpose in that. They thrive. All throughout history, you always see the church thriving in persecution. So maybe that's just what needs to happen for believers to finally wake up and going, my goodness, it took all of this. And finally, I'm on fire, you know, for the gospel. I'm now going to be an absolute ambassador for him, you know, in the sense that I take this seriously. I don't just take it like, oh yeah, I'm a believer, I'm Christian. I'm like, I devote 100% of my life now to this. It might take that, you know. I don't know what you think, Tony, but I think overall the Western world, pretty laxy daisy. It's been for a long time. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, good times or bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create bad times. That applies spiritually to the believers too. And we've had such good times that we've become weak men spiritually.
Sure.
And I mean women too, but I mostly mean men.
No, like, well, for sure. You're right. And it's like now you're getting into certain times where, like, I literally got to start, like, protecting my family. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're getting to a point now where you got to literally stand your ground. You literally got to be vocal when all of a sudden the cancel culture is coming after you and you might lose your job because you say something like, no, I'm not going to accept my kids getting, you know, an operation or whatever. What I'm saying is you're coming to a point now where you could kind of just lay back for a while, But now it's at a point where someone's going to ask you, where do you stand on this issue? Where do you stand on that issue? And the minute you basically are bold enough and you're going to tell the truth, you're going to come under fire. And I mean, we're seeing just the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion, as far as cancel culture and how far this is going to go. Like, what is going to be permissible? What's going to be allowed to be talked about, even if it's just an opinion in the future? You dare say anything like this video, you know, in 10 years time, yeah. they might look back on a video like this and going, my goodness, can you believe that they could actually have this discussion? Like, they actually had this discussion on YouTube. You know, it might be that way. Which to me is
horrible. It'll be censored like 100%. It's straight Ministry of Truth stuff.
So what other things have you seen eroding the family? Like, what other things have you personally seen that you've been aware of? Like, bring your insight into this, maybe on a deeper level. Maybe some people haven't seen it. What have you noticed maybe through Hollywood, or you've noticed subtleties, or you've just noticed certain things happening that you're like, oh, this is another attack coming, or this is another thing that they're doing to destroy the family. By the way, everyone, if you're not familiar, and I want to make sure that we definitely be able to promote, you know, the stuff that you've done. But you did a work with Jake Grant, Covenant Warfare, I believe was the name of the documentary. And it was on marriage, on the family, the stuff where we're talking about, specifically marriage, correct? Husband and wife.
Yep.
And phenomenal. And maybe you could kind of mention to people, first of all, where they can kind of see your materials or any links that you want to promote. I just want to make sure that we got time right now, get it out. We'll do it also at the end, but maybe you want to just talk about that real quick.
I have it up on video on Vimeo. It's still, there's some things I have to tweak before I make it go live, but it's on Vimeo. If you just type in Covenant Warfare, and you'll see it starring Jake Grant, and my name should be on there. And
yeah, so Covenant Warfare. If you send me a link, I'll add it into the description as well too, just so you have direct links. And then anyone on YouTube, you can just look in the description. I'll add them before the end of the show, or right at the end of the show, I'll put them in there. But just type in Covenant Warfare if you want to see. And that you did that 2 years ago, I believe.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago. Yeah. So, and then also the year before that, you did the one on the binary. What was that called again?
I did that one with Ian Chadwick. He's been on your show a couple times.
Correct. Yes. Yes. With Ian.
That one touched on the binary a little bit, but it was more of a macroscopic view of what was going on. And that was called Quantum Illusion.
Quantum Illusion. That's right. Yes. Yes. It was more of the presentation you did to take on the World Conference when you really got into the binary. Yes. That's right. Yes. So yeah.
To answer your question about, before I forget, because my memory is terrible.
Oh, sure.
I think too many thoughts to remember stuff. But when you asked what do I see, like as like subtle and bold things around that are attacks on the family, it is literally everything is an attack on the family. It's all about attacking the family. That's where the enemy started in the Garden of Eden with the children. He even tried to tempt Jesus on the mountain. It's all about breaking up the family, because the family is the physical representation of the spiritual flow of power that we are all to be under. Like that spiritual flow of power of Abba sacrificing for Jesus, and Jesus submitting, Jesus sacrificing for us, that flow, they're not two separate flows. It is one massive flow. Abba, Yeshua, Abba, Jesus, Father, Mother, Child. It is one continuous flow. So any attack on a man, whether it's with just like immodest culture, pornography, and then with women, his attacks on men, I'm kind of like, all right, dude, yeah, you just came right at us. His attacks on women make me very angry, because he tries to make them feel like they're not, he tries to make men feel like we're worth everything, and then tries to make women feel like they're worth nothing.
Yeah.
But by basically going, hey, teaching men through whispers of, oh, why don't you airbrush that photo of the person on your magazine, make them prettier. Make them prettier, make them prettier, make them prettier. And every person you make prettier fake, then
Well, no women can live up to it. No women, the woman herself that took the picture can't even live up to that. You know, like it's unfortunate what that's doing for self-esteem and body image and all these type of things for women. But yeah, I totally agree that we live in a world that basically is not real. And we've talked about this, you know, for a very long time about that, you know, the world's lies, but that's case in point. But it's very destructive. It's very destructive to women. That's why I say that as the role, you know, of the husband is to protect your wife, even from herself, because women will say a lot of hurtful and damaging things to themselves. And you got to nip that in the bud. In my opinion, right. What I do in my family, and my wife loves me for it. You know, she's like, thank you. You know, I needed to be told, knock that off, you know, because there's certain times when it's like, that's not good. And you're going to feel better if you just stop.
Right.
Yeah.
Like literally it's down to even the names of things. Women wear makeup. And we just say the word makeup. Oh, I bought some makeup, but it doesn't. Our subconscious is processing that as I'm making up for something. Like, what Correct. Are you making up for? Mm-hmm. You're not. It's mm-hmm. actually like, it makes me super angry because it's so.
Totally.
It's so evil genius and he's good at it. And I see women around, like, I just see what it does to women.
Yeah.
And to go back to when we were talking about women are the weaker vessel, I know a lot of women don't like that.
That's too bad. Like, this is Celebrate Truth Radio, and they can like tune out. Honestly, like I don't really care if people don't like to hear it. It is the truth. It is biblical. Right. But you have to dissect it and really break that down. You're just saying that overall, though, like biologically, men are stronger than women biologically by a long shot. I mean, that's the whole debate with transgendered in sports. And I'm telling you right now, women, again, are going to get the bad deal of this, because what about all those girls that want to get scholarships? What about all those girls that want to, you know, rise up in college? They are about to be decimated because every transgendered man that's going to be entering into those sports, they are going to, like, I heard something that said one of the fastest women competing with one of the slowest men still wouldn't have a chance of winning. Like, it's just, it's like apples and oranges. And that's the whole thing, is why is society so bent out on blurring it together? And this is what we're talking about. But that whole thing about putting men into women's sports, like they're doing this in the UFC and in boxing. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many girls are about to get really hurt? Really hurt. Yeah. I mean, really hurt.
Yeah. They're not.
It's really unfortunate. And it's like, so I'm saying it takes like you and I and people like us to stand up and say, no, enough's enough. This is absolutely BS. This is wrong. This is abusive to women.
Yes. The when I was talking about the women that don't like to hear that verse, I was mentioning that so that if any woman that is listening, I don't want them to tune out. I want them them to listen to what I'm about to say next.
Sure.
If we as humans are the bride of Christ, spiritually we are feminine. He says, Jesus says, you can do greater things than I can. So if something that has a strong vessel and something that has a weak vessel, if those are equal, the equalizer is the contents of the woman's vessel is more powerful than the contents of the man's vessel. This is how we can do greater things than the Messiah, but we're in weaker vessels than him. Mm-hmm. And so it's just because they're a weaker vessel doesn't mean they're less. It means the contents of the vessel is 100%. Very important.
We're equal in worth. We're equal in worth. There's no doubt. Like, I've never debated that, but it says in authority, we're not equal at all. Like, not by a long shot. I mean, you know, so that's the whole thing that people just freak out about. And I'm seeing so much of it. And even with believers, you're seeing it all seeping in where they're like, well, and it's conditional and it's this and it's, well, the man has to be this. And it's like, guys, it's not. I mean, if you want to take the example of authority, they don't have to do anything. You still need to, like you said, you need to submit to that authority. You don't have to, you know, you don't always have to obey, but you need to submit and respect it, that sort of thing. It's unbelievable to me, though, how convoluted. It's just so clear. And, you know, talk about going deep. If you go deep in the roles, and it's so important in my mind, there's so much devastation happening with the family, with divorces. It's out of control. And I said it before in the first hour, it all comes down to the power struggle. Once there is no power struggle, and I mean no power struggle, with nothing but love, understanding your roles, honestly, like, I'm going to go on the record here. I'll get my wife on a show, because someone was saying, if you do that show, you got to have your wife on. And my wife already agreed to coming on the show at some point to explain it. But here's the thing. We've been together now for 8 years, married for 5, We have never, and I mean never, had a fight. And I'll put that out on the air, and it seems insane, and it seems weird, but what I'm saying is we've never had a fight. Now, I'm not saying we're never going to. My point is 8 years, we've never had a fight. So we've just, when we first got together, we literally said we want to know and understand our role so deep that, like, when people see us operating, they're kind of scratching their head, like, what's up with them? I mean, to this day, I still open the car door for my wife. And here's a crazy thing, guys. Have you ever noticed a lot of times guys, when they're wooing a girl, they'll open that door for them to get in the car? And usually it kind of goes away. How many guys do you see opening the door for her to get out? Why is it only halfway? So if you're gonna treasure and treat your woman well, why is it only opening the door for her to get in? You know, here's the reason why. Because in order to wait to open the door for her to get out, you have to actually issue a command. You have to say stay. I'm just joking, but what I'm saying is you have to say, I want you to stay. I want to open the door for you to get out. That's hard for a man to do. But once you do that, it's interesting. Why is it that even the most chivalrous man, even when he's dating and trying to woo a woman, he only opens the door one direction with a car? It's just weird. I started thinking about it. I'm going, wow, isn't it amazing that even in our world, they don't even do anything 100%. So I said to my wife at the beginning, I said, I want to do things 100%. Both of us, let's do things 100%. So I remember it was like years into it. And people were floored. Like, we have people looking at us still to this day when I'm opening the door for her to get out or opening the door for her to get in. It floors people because they don't normally see it. But it wasn't because we're so amazing. It was because we said, going forward, we want to do this. It was kind of a rule in our relationship that basically we put together. And I said, this is kind of the rule that we want to do. It's amazing to me, though, that when it comes down to this whole discussion, why is it so amazing for that to take place? Not many people do it, but they don't understand what it is to really treasure, to really, like you said, Tony, sacrifice for your wife.
It's everything. And I'm glad to know that about that part about the giving the command, because I never thought of it like that. But then
it is. You have to say stay. I joke around when I explain this, but you literally, and it's hard to do when you're dating a girl, you got to be like, stay. Like, you don't say it like that. But what I'm saying is she's required to sit in the seat until you get out of the car, go around and open the door for her to get out. But I'll tell you one thing. The minute it happens, they feel like $1 million and they feel like a princess. Not once did she ever say, I don't like that. She's like, I love this. And everyone that sees it goes, wow, look at that. And they're pointing and they're nudging their partner and stuff. What I'm saying is, it's just a simple thing like that, that if you're going to open the door for her to get in, why wouldn't you open the door for her to get out? Because that's another level where you got to play those roles. You've got to issue a command and she's got to obey for that to take place.
Will it work if I were in the car with my wife, before I get out and open her door, I say, sit, sit. And then I go open her door and I'm like, okay, come on, get out. Who's a good girl? Will that work?
No, probably not. No, probably it would work out well. But it's funny though. I've said to some people, I said, why don't you try it for a week and just bring it up and do it. And then after a week, ask your wife how she feels, especially if she likes that type of man that opens the door for her in the first place. If she likes that and feels pampered and she feels beautiful and she feels like a princess, then she's going to feel even more like royalty when you're opening the door for her to get out. So it's almost like an experiment for women to be like, why don't you just try it and see? But it's a conversation they have to have, because they have to say to their man or their husband, they have to say, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, you opening the door for me to get out, especially if you're opening the door for me to get in. But anyways, we won't go away on that, but it is just an interesting, and that's just one thing I could bring up on one level, that even when in the wooing dating stage, when men want to just open that door for, you know, her to get in that car and they close that door, the fact of the matter is they're only doing it halfway. They're half-assing it. Even though they think that it's like, wow, look at me, they're still not doing it full way. If you really want to go 100%, you'd open that door for her to get out and just ask that question, why are men not thinking that? So, like, I like to go levels deep on this. And that's what the beautiful thing is. When you understand true submission and obedience and sacrifice, like you said, and truly protecting your woman and caring for her, it goes a lot more than what most people think. They just think, oh, I'm going to protect my wife from an intruder. No, no, no. You're going to protect your wife even from herself. Even from her own friends, if need be, if they're being damaging. It's not just about an intruder. It's not just about someone that's going to hurt her. You could be hurt physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. So why would you allow, if you're not going to allow some dude, random guy on the street to do that to her, why would you allow her to do it to herself? These type of things, God's requiring us to really take care of our wives. And that's what I say, is go deep. And I mean, even for most people, when they get on these levels, read the Bible, go really deep into the roles in the relationship, because he is saying it. He's screaming it out and saying, guys, if you understand truly what I'm trying to sell you, what's going to take place in your marriage, if you understand the hierarchy, like you said, the Father and the Son, that entire thing is mirrored in the marriage. The gospel is in the marriage, right? And those roles are right there. And it's like, if you surrender and you go deeper and you say, we want to practice and become stronger in these roles, you're going to get to a certain point where you're going to go, wow, so many people are missing out. Like, my wife will literally come forward. She's literally at times in parties and she'll be like, my husband's the boss. And people are like, what? Did she just say her husband's the boss? Well, if you understand authority, I mean, it sounds crazy, but that is truly what it means. If the husband is an authority, then he is the boss, right? Would you not say?
I would say,
be proud and with a smile on her face. And no, you know, it's not this. It's just interesting. Women don't talk like that anymore. So they're really profound. When also they hear someone talking like that, they're like, what did you just say? Your husband's the boss? Yeah, he's the boss. And it's like, what world are you coming from? The Bible? Like, you know what I mean? It's just funny. I just find it really funny at the end of the day, but it's better for her to speak it than me. That's why if she's going to talk it, it's one thing. But if I say it, then I'll be looked at as some chauvinist, you know? Oh my goodness. Right. What a pig. Wow. You know, if he,
And I think it's good to sort of differentiate between boss and leader. The concepts between the two are nuanced, but big. Whereas 100%. The leader is, we're in this together. And the boss is, you do what I said.
Well, but that's not even true too, though, because a successful CEO will look at and listen to the input of all his employees and will take it very serious. But at the end of the day, he makes the decision for the company, but they're all on the same team. They're all on the same team, right? But they're always one CEO. There's never two CEOs. This whole idea that we're going to be equal. When I hear couples that say, we're going to be 50-50, good luck. The only time that you're going to see 50-50 is in divorce court. You don't want that. Why are people wanting 50-50 when the only time you really truly see 50-50 is in the divorce court?
Yeah, that's a great phrase. If you're going to get 50-50, if you're going to try to go 50-50, you'll get it in divorce.
You'll get it in divorce. I mean, so why are people trying to advocate? It's an impossibility. What? So like, you're going to like, I mean, as long as you've got your responsibilities and your roles and you both agree, again, this is a couple thing. This is not just an instituted thing. If a couple comes together and just agrees together and says, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. But this whole idea that like, I'm going to clean the dishes 50% of the time and you're constantly going to be nagging at each other. I did it twice. Right. You have to do it one more time. It's just going to be a mess. And that power struggle doesn't need to be there. If you have this agreement in place and you talk about it, but here's the thing, going back to what you're saying, a very smart and a loving CEO and a very wise CEO, leader, whatever you want to say, boss, always looks at the direction and takes that input and cares for the direction of that company. But at the end of the day, they'll make the final decision. There is no institution anywhere in the world where there is two heads. Those are monsters. And we've seen monsters develop inside marriages because they have this mentality that's 50-50. It is not, and it's fine, but people just freak out because the feminists have like got so much garbage into people's eyes. They're like, oh my goodness, abuse. Oh my goodness, guy's going to be a tyrant. It's like, no, he actually won't. A lot of the times he won't. A lot of times the guy becomes an absolute jerk because he's playing the power struggle. He's trying to get that dominant power because the woman is fighting it. If a woman comes and says, you're the boss, right? The guy's like, whoa, like all I'm saying is in that biblical mindset, you'd be surprised what happens when both come to agreement and saying, you're the boss. And when she says that to him, then everything just falls down and he wants to care and love on her even more because he doesn't have to worry about the power struggle. Because spiritually speaking, even you can say a guy's a jerk, but spiritually speaking, he has to have that authority. So he's going to feel threatened. He's going to feel defensive because God's built it into him as a man. He might do it the wrong way, but the fact of the matter is, in the same way that women are constantly going to struggle with their desire for the man's headship, even the most godly woman is going to constantly struggle with it because it's inherent. It was a penalty in the Garden of Eden, right? This is something that's going to be a nonstop struggle. Some struggle more than others, but the fact of the matter is that struggle is going to be there. Well, a wise husband can help and work with his wife to help her on that, because when she overcomes that, she's going to be much happier. Trust me on this. If you talk to women that are really, truly submissive, they have amazing husbands. They're like, my goodness, the biggest lie that I was ever taught was this whole idea, not obeying my man. The minute I got to that point, I started to feel submission for the first time. And it's a beautiful mindset to be in. And the only way you can become submissive is being obedient. The less obedient you are, the less submissive you'll become.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, it says in the Bible that obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you think of obedience, obedience is still sacrifice. It's sacrificing your own will. I'm giving up my will. I want to do whatever you want me to do.
Yes, but you're choosing it. And that's the beautiful thing. She's choosing that. She's giving it as a gift to her husband and saying, I'm giving you this over. That's the difference. See, people, when they hear it, they're thinking of these horrible situations where it's forced or where they have no other option or whatever. They're choosing to do it. Just like, you know, God so loved the world, or Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only son. This whole idea is, it was volitional, right? It's a choice. And when it's handed over freely to someone, that's what I'm saying, is when it's handed over freely, that's the whole difference. It's not like, I have to do this. I want to do this. And for women and for wives in particular, by doing that, you're not only obeying God, but you're pleasing God. There's verse after verse after verse where it makes him very happy. It's like that relationship. The more a woman is submissive and obedient to her husband, the more closer she's going to draw to God. In the same way that the husband and wife, the more they draw closer to God together, they draw closer to God together as well. Like it all works together, but that's the whole thing, is this obedience has got to a point where it's the same thing with abuse and discipline. Let's get to children, because we're talking a lot about marriage and we're going to talk about the family. Let's talk about children, for example. It's the same way the world conflates abuse and discipline. Discipline is loving. Abuse is hateful. Well, anytime you say, well, I'm going to spank my child, that's abusive. No, it's not. Nowhere in the Bible is that abusive, right? But the fact of the matter is that these two terms in the world, they want to basically portray that any type of level of discipline, that's abuse, right? And you see this over and over and over. And the same thing they're trying to do with children, because they do realize that if children are not properly, lovingly disciplined, they are going to get them in the end. Because I'll tell you one thing, it will happen. And I'll tell you, the world will discipline them a heck of a lot worse than what parents will, for the most part. I know there's bad parents out there, but again, we're not talking about abusive situations where you're doing stuff out of hate and anger. We're talking about loving discipline because you love them and care. Like if they're running on the road, you discipline them because you don't want them to die. That is a loving thing to do. It's not a hateful and a hurtful thing long term. So any loving parent understands that. And God himself, Hebrews says this, the Lord disciplines those he loves.
Yep.
Tell you one thing. If you're being disciplined right now as a believer, rejoice. Rejoice. Yep. Because I'll tell you one thing. He's doing it for your own good, and it's painful at the time, but it's going to prosper you and make you stronger and more refined going forward.
Yeah. It means he cares.
Yeah, he cares. That's what discipline is. So again, so the question is, you know, the world, though, if you start talking and you put on a message board, anything to do with like discipline, what the Bible states, oh, that's abuse, 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 abuse. Right? So the world just likes to distort everything, like we've talked about in this broadcast. Everything they're distorting. It doesn't matter what you talk about, it comes to family, when it comes to discipline versus abuse, when it comes to husband and wife, when it comes to who's the leader. Oh, that's the patriarchy, and that's old school, and that's just, you know, male chauvinist men. No, it's not. I mean, think of how long they've done this, and all of a sudden we're going to have this experiment in the last 50 years where everyone thinks they're right. Man, it's going to end bad. Like we were talking about, this whole experiment in trying to say, oh, we're all right and we can be all men and women, whatever we believe, it is going to end so badly because it's never happened. It's never happened before. And everyone thinks they got it right. You know, thousands of years of history, they have it one way. And in the last 50 years, everyone's just like, hey, man, they all had it wrong. We've got it right. I mean, Satan has literally deceived people to the point where they can't even look and go, wait a minute. So for like 5,000 years or so, it was one way. And we're led to believe that all of a sudden someone just got a bright idea and said, no, we've got the answer. And so far, the data supports that it's disastrous. I mean, people are ending up in prison and gangs and fathers out of the house, and divorce rate is skyrocketing, and the whole world just is going up in flames.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just going on a bit of a rant right now, but I'm very passionate about this because you're right. The family is so crucial. And what I see, you know, coming after the children it's not just having drag queen reading time in libraries. It is a whole new level now. Like that to me was insane when that started popping up. I'm like, are you kidding me? No one's even raising a red flag on that one. Like that's all cool and fun, but now it's getting to a point where it's getting so, and I'm not saying scary, like you should live in fear, but I mean, we are living in some very interesting times, but God is faithful. And greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. We have nothing to fear. Just know that we're strangers in this world. We're light in this darkness. And we're going to see a lot of things. But we all, if you're a believer, you have a mission. You need to pray and say, God, where will you have me? What will you have me say? He's got you positioned and in a place to really do incredible work. And it will seem like the odds are crazy. But even all through the Bible, we see these crazy odds. Where you're like, what, 200,000 men army to 10,000. You're like, okay, this is a easy bet, you know? And all of a sudden the 10,000 army just completely decimates the 200,000. So you see these odds like David and Goliath, and that's what we're talking about right now. We're looking at the world where it's just going crazy and the odds look so insane. But the reality is that we have literally got the creator, we have got God working within us. And honestly, he's asking us foremost, to protect your marriage and family and take it very seriously, because you're right. That is the number one way that Satan starts to destroy the fabric of any society. Anytime the family falls, the society falls. So the more people that kind of really take that serious, again, you can kind of prolong this thing happening a lot longer. And that's what we're called to do, is making sure that the gospel is spread out to people. And there's going to be so many people, I truly believe, so many people are going to wake up because it's getting to the point of such insanity. I mean, it's just to the point where most people, like I mentioned before, there's a lot of people that aren't anti-vaxxers. They're not even truthers at all. And they're like, this is nuts. This thing's been rushed out. I'm not taking this vaccination.
Yeah.
So that to me is, that's when I kind of smile and say, you know what? There's some good happening here. Even though we could look at it, there's still good happening. Maybe it's not, they're not going to be able to ram down these agendas as fast as what they think. I don't know. What do you think as far as their agendas and their timeline? Do you think they're going to, you know, run into some speed bumps coming up here? Or do you think it's going to be smooth sailing for the most part?
That answer would depend on where in the grand timeline I think we are. And I don't know. I have a couple thoughts, but I don't have enough to say, oh, this is what I think.
Throw out your thoughts, because we'll go on the record and say, look, this isn't prophetic. We're not prophets. It's just an opinion, and could be right, could be wrong. Don't know. But I think people, and I think it's important that people hear different theories. I had Jared Kressman on and Brian Gutowa or whatever talking about the fact that they don't even believe that we're anywhere close to the end times. And again, you know, it's controversial, but I think it's smart to be open to a lot of different ideas, do your own research and come to that conclusion. But there's nothing wrong with bringing up different opinions or different ideas just to kind of munch on. I mean, we're, you know, in a crazy world, we might as well be thinking of different levels, because I don't think that, you know, just because you think you're right now, you might be surprised in 10 years what you change. That's one thing that's interesting as believers. Not essential stuff do we change, but it's interesting how many times we're rock solid on something and then in 5 years we change. For example, pre-trib. I mean, I used to be pre-trib rapture. I'm not pre-trib, but I bet you, you know, 15 years ago, I would have told people there's no possible way I would ever budge from that. And I did. So bring it up. Don't worry about it, because we've gone on the record already saying it's not like this is 100% what you believe. Just say, maybe it could be this.
The place I start is in scripture, it says that those that receive the mark of the beast will be thrown into the lake of fire, but they won't die. Like they won't have the second death. And so something physical here that is going to change a man spiritually enough to make it so that he is now immortal, because it talks about them wishing for death, wanting the rocks to fall on them, but they don't die. So these people, the other immortal things, when it talks about the days of Noah, the other immortal beings are angels. This is why their punishment's so great, because they saw it all from the beginning. They're immortal. They should know. Yeah, you follow God's ways. He built this whole place. So I believe the mark of the beast is going to be a mixing of human DNA with angel, fallen angel DNA, days of Noah. And so when I look at the vaccine now, this is the first of the vaccines that is blatantly built on literally changing, altering the DNA. it literally will alter people's DNA. That's their whole touting thing. You don't, you can't shed the virus because we're not giving them the virus. We're changing their DNA. So what if the process to get a human being, a human being's physical body able to be compatible with fallen angel DNA, it requires a long process, which could have started in the beginning with vaccines, which the same thing he always does. He starts it off with a good idea. Hey, here's how you fix a medical issue. You just give the little bit of the virus to the body, let the body build up immunity. Cool. That's awesome. That's very helpful. And then slowly over time, weaponize it. Jake and I, that he was on your show last week, we did a show called Tools and Weapons. And anything that can be used as a tool can also be used as a weapon. And the more powerful of a tool it is, the more powerful of a weapon it can be used as. So the enemy, I believe, is this is a long process of preparing the bodies of human beings to be able to receive and intermingle with angelic DNA, which would be the mark of the beast. And seeing as this is the first we're hearing, like where they're blatantly saying we're changing DNA, I would assume you're going to have, they got a bunch more runs to go through to finish it. I don't know, but that's my thought on it. So as far as timeline goes, I think we have enough time to where they're, because they're still preparing people's bodies for their nonsense DNA change.
So basically you're saying that because it's more of a gradual process, you think maybe there's numerous generations left, possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Maybe one, maybe two. I mean, that's 40 years. It's no, two I know. Generations. Yeah. I would say one.
So one generation. So yeah. Like, so you think that you will see it in your lifetime?
It depends on how old Abba lets me live to, but
well, let's, yeah, who knows, right? Let's just say he lives to the rightful age of, I don't know, 98. How's that? That's a good long life.
Oh yeah, that's, I cannot wait to be old man. I'm already short. I'm 5'5", so I'm gonna shrink at least 3 inches. I'm gonna be 5'2" and frail, and I'm pretty sure that's
5'2" and frail.
I'm pretty sure there's gonna be a period of time that I'm going to pretend to be senile for like 2 weeks.
So funny. I can see you too as an old man just pulling pranks on people. You know what I mean? Like just joking, you know, they'll take you serious. Like you're all grumpy and stuff. You're like, just joking. You know?
Like, no, you'll be, I wouldn't even tell them I'm joking. They'll just find me walking around in the street. And I'll be like, have you seen my bunny? And they're gonna be like, oh no, he's losing his mind. And just do that for about a week and then be like, I was just pulling your chain.
Yeah, I could see something like that happening. That's the whole thing too. In this world, it's always good just to add some humor into it, right? Because I mean, you can get as always down. Even just looking at the realism of the world, humor is so important to me. You know, it's good to have a laugh. It's good for your health. It truly is. So, I always enjoy. I mean, we've had some good laughs, you know, over the years for sure, right? So, yeah. If people aren't aware, Tony can be quite the, I don't know what, clown, joker, just can be pretty humorous for sure.
I don't know if I like either of those terms, but I know.
Well, I don't know. How would you?
The spirit of what you were saying.
Well, what would you say? I would say like you're like a joker, but like, yeah, you like to have fun.
You like to have fun.
A lot of people laughing. So, that's a whole other side of Mr. Tony Stover. If you've all been like, this dude's serious and deep. It's like, what? He's also funny. It's like, yeah, he can be pretty funny. He can make you laugh. He's got some great voices and characters. And speaking of which, you're working on a new rap song.
Actually, it's a whole, yes, I'm working on a rap song for an album that myself, Amber Plaster, my wife, and Rob Blackwell, we are joining forces, making a group, whatever you want to call it. And we're doing a album that tells a story throughout all the songs. And the story is basically it's back to the family thing. It's a physical representation of what's happened spiritually. It's a woman of the world, a chick there's a good man that has known her for a long time, since she was a kid. And he has always loved her and sacrificed for her. but she has eyes for the pretty boy bad guy. So through this, you're going to have like the wooing of from the bad guy and the wooing of through sacrifice of the good man. And it's going to be, we're going to tell a whole story with it. And that I'm going to shoot music videos for each song that can be played all together as a movie. And
you cool.
You can watch the whole CD as a movie.
Nice.
So, whenever I have rap songs, basically my hip hop is the bad characters.
Oh, okay. So the hip hop portion are like, the bad characters.
I'm not trying to downplay on hip hop like it's bad. But
oh man, I mean, some people don't like it and stuff. But let's be real. You know, hip hop, I would say, is probably the most popular genre in the entire world. I mean, it went from just some sort of, you know, odd thing, but I mean, it's unbelievable how big hip hop got.
I'm definitely
a fan. I like all genres, but I definitely have a background, you know, really listening to hip hop, and then, you know, as a Christian, listening to a lot of Christian hip hop as well. But yeah, but I do like pretty much all expressions. I'm not big into country. You know, there'd be a few, obviously Southern gospel, I'm not really a fan of, but overall I'm pretty diverse when it comes to my music taste.
What do you think, you'd want to hear a little snippet of what I have working on for?
I would love it. It would be amazing. Yes, please. Right. Let's see what you're working on. So if you guys that are listening right now don't like hip hop, maybe just plug your ears or whatever, but anyways, give it a chance because Tony is massively talented in so many areas. This is just one area of his talent. It extends so far into so many different areas.
I'll give a little backstory because you can
do it quick because we've got, well, I mean, we can probably just do it on the after show on YouTube because I just looked at the time and we're literally running out of time for Revolution Radio. So hold that thought. We'll do it as an exclusive, the after show on YouTube. So if you're listening on Revolution Radio, head over to youtube.com/celebratetruth. And tune in on Celebrate Truth on YouTube for the after show where we will play what Tony is working on and maybe talk a little bit more before we wrap up the show. But I'm going to have to wrap up for Revolution Radio here because we are out of time. So thank you so much, Tony. I will make sure that people, if you go to Take on the World TV on YouTube, you can find, I think, videos and different things that you've done. Your show, For What It's Worth, is still on there. And
yes, sir.
Awesome.
Well, I actually double booked, but we can talk about that. I know we're running out of time. I can't see the timer, so.
Oh yeah, no, that's fine too, because we'll continue on for YouTube. We'll continue on the after show, but as far as Revolution Radio, it's coming to an end, guys, again. So thank you so much for tuning in. And if you want to jump over to YouTube, Celebrate Truth channel, you will get a little bit more there. Really appreciate all your support and everyone tuning in. And it has been an amazing time with Tony Stover. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Thanks
we'll talk to you guys next week. Same time, same place. We're going to YouTube, so head over there. Take care, everyone.
Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
owns you. If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on